Well, to that good singing this morning, I say amen and amen. Good to see you today. God bless you this morning, and for all the visitors that are here, we thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our heart, and we love and appreciate you sincerely. We've got a good crowd today, and that is a blessing. You know, it's a beautiful day outside. That liquid sunshine is just right, but it's comfortable in here, and I'm proud that we're here today. And of all the visitors we have today, and thank God for everyone that is here this morning, there is one little bitty one that is here today. She's just you can measure her age in weeks. She's just a little over 2 weeks old, and she's right over here with her family, little Abby Chance, new daughter of Brendan and Jenny, and little sister of Katie Brooke and Lane. And you'll want to see her this morning. She's just a precious little bundle. It's her very first worship service, and we're proud that she's here today. We say to the Chance family, we love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you, and we're proud that your family has grown, and we look forward as it grows even more. God bless you today. I didn't mean have more children, okay? Although, if you want to, that'll be fine. Anyway, this morning, I want you to take your Bibles. Do you have your Bibles with you? You might have it on your phone. Hold your Bible up if you do. Okay, now don't hold up a songbook, okay? I saw some of them. You got it on the tablets and phone. This morning, we're going to be looking at the Good Samaritan. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10, and we'll look there at verses 25 down through 37. What a great and amazing story we have here. This parable of Jesus, the Good Samaritan, it's timeless. I want us to read it, then make some thoughts concerning it, and in the end, make some applications that will be beneficial for us. And as we leave here today, it's my desire that we leave stronger, better, that we leave closer to the Lord than when we arrived. And if we can do that, that will be something that is greatly accomplished. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse number 25, let's read it together, and as we go through, then we'll make some comments later. Verse 25 said, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came also a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked upon him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him, and he bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. This parable has become a part of our culture, part of our vocabulary. Hospitals are named after it, Good Samaritan Hospital. Places, institutions of mercy follow the concept. Substitute today's occupations, today's nationalities, today's race with the things of this, and we have nothing more than the same story played out in many respects today. Nothing has changed since the day that Jesus taught it. It was for them, and it is for us today. We see that the central thought of this parable, this story that Jesus tells, this scene in the life of Jesus and others, there's a question that is asked, and that becomes the central theme. And the question is simple: what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, he works around that question the entirety of the time, and then he answers it emphatically by simply saying, obey God. He says, love God with every fiber of your being. Leave nothing undone. Give Him your all, and then give your all to your neighbor. That is, help those that are around you. Do that by obeying. God has set that in motion, and you do what God says. And in this, we understand that Jesus is teaching a very applicable lesson, a lesson that we need and a lesson that we can benefit from. And so then, after telling that to obey God, then He tells this amazing, this wonderful parable, the story that never grows old. It's a true story. It's a story that can be applied to any culture, any time, any setting, any situation. And we can fit right into that story in any day of our life because we understand it and understand it well. In this parable, I want you to see three things this morning. We'll spend just a short amount of time seeing these three things. We'll look at the details of the parable, kind of see the logistics of it. We'll analyze it and see, well, now what's going on here that will benefit us? And then finally, we'll make some application. And the applications, no doubt, have to be propositional because they address us. And I need this parable. I need it ever so much in my life. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is a windy, twisty, 17 miles of downhill all the way. You're going from a high elevation of Jerusalem down to the level below the Dead Sea. It's an amazing. You go from Jerusalem to Jericho, and there's plenty of opportunity for robbers to hide in the shadows and to pounce out on an unbeknown or unexpected wayfarer. And yet here we see these things that are going on. You have a man that is traveling. We're never told who he is. But he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that twisting, turning, that we'd call it crooked as a dog's hind leg of a road, out jump these robbers, plural. The text says they rob him, they strip him of his clothing, and they beat him within an inch of his life. And there we have the crime scene. There's the crime scene. The road is not just traveled by him. Others travel the road. And no doubt as others travel the road, you would think somebody would certainly stop and help. Well, we see, first of all, a Levite that comes his way. The text says he walks by on the other side. A priest as well. They walk right on by. We would expect, we would think, surely these guys would help. I mean, after all, they're the preachers. They should be practicing what they preach. They've been in Jerusalem, and now they're going home wherever they might live. And we can make all kinds of excuses for them. Oh, they didn't need to touch a body that had been beaten. They might be contaminated. They might be seen ceremonially unclean. And these are guys of the upper echelon of society. What need do they do to reach down to the low scenes of life and render their help? Folks, let's quit making excuses. People have been making excuses for the priest and Levite for thousands of years, and let's quit making excuses. The Lord wants us to help. And whoever's in need, there's our helping. Then we see this Good Samaritan, and he's the least likely one. He comes along and he sees the guy. He binds his wounds. That is, he's helping him physically, taking care of him and whatever he needs. Oh, he's probably the one that would never be expected to do all of this. But nonetheless, he's the one that stops and he's the one that helps. And God bless him. Well, there's the details. He puts the fella on his beast of burden, takes him to an end. Even today, if you were to go to the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, you can find halfway the inn of the Good Samaritan. You can even stay there. Tells the innkeeper, I've taken care of him, and if you spend any more when I come back, I'll take care of the bill. I'll cover the expenses. That's a good story. And I think, who do I want to be in that story? Well, I've been the guy that got beat. I've been that guy before. Don't think I've ever been the robbers. Don't want to be them. I hope to the good Lord above that I've never been the priest or the Levite or expressed the attitude that they do. I want to be the Good Samaritan. That's who I want to be. because in the analysis of this thing, we see a number of philosophies, worldviews. In other words, how do people view this story, and what outlook do they have in regard to the things that are going on and the things that are going on around us today? What's one's worldview? Well, first of all, we see the iron rule. They're the robbers. Their rule is, what's yours is mine and I'll take it. You know, there's a lot of folks that live by that rule, aren't they? We don't have to go far or see much to realize that that rule is practiced very close, even here in Decatur. But that's not the only rule that we see here, because then we go to the priest and the Levite. They have a silver rule, and what's mine is mine and I'll keep it. You might be in need, but sorry, buddy, I'm walking on by. A lot of folks live by that rule, don't they? But that's not all that we see here, because next we see that Good Samaritan. He has the golden rule. I love that. What's mine is yours. In essence, I'll help you if I can. This guy, he has inspired the Samaritan. He's inspired people worldwide. Inspired them to be better, to do right, to be good. My desire is that he has an effect upon me, on us. Well, now that's what we're talking about. Now let's go to the application. What do we learn, and what do we see in this that will benefit all of us? There's two lessons here. Now there's many applications, and we can see, but two I want you to notice. First of all, there's a lesson in compassion. And secondly, there's a lesson in salvation. And both of these scream for attention. Let's go first of all to the lesson in compassion. We understand that compassion is important. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, compassion feels, compassion does, and compassion costs. But folks, compassion needs no reasons to act. It's just compassion. And oh, how our world needs compassion from folks that are godly in character. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the final verse of that great and wonderful chapter, Paul said this. He said, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Think for just a minute how good God has been to us, and how He wants us to be the same to others. There's also a lesson in salvation there, because no doubt here that question that was central, what must I do to inherit eternal life, that was on the mind of them, and I hope it's on the mind of all today. There's a passage in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope according or by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." To enter heaven, one must be born again. John 3, verse 3. To be born again means that one must be born of water and the Spirit. John 3, verse 5. You see, that details the plan of salvation. God does not just tell us to live. He shows us how to live and live eternally. I love the passages that are found within God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must lend an attentive ear to the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To believe them with every fiber of our being, that great golden text of the Bible, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We see it when we drive down the Beltline. Go down Carradale Street and you'll see it there. Tim Tebow even had it written under his eyes. It's everywhere, and thank God for that. Change is important, and the principal word for change the Bible uses is the word repent. Leave sin behind and, well, direct our lives toward God. Paul in Acts 17 and verse 30. He said there was a lot of ignorance there in Athens, Greece, but that was not his concern. He wasn't going to focus on that. He was going to focus on, he said, the repentance that they needed to engage. He said, "God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." All people everywhere to do that. To confess Jesus is a serious matter. Some people have died for having done it. The eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, as recorded in Acts the 8th chapter, is accompanied by Philip, and they find a body of water. The eunuch says to Philip, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" The eunuch's inquisitive, and Philip, he says, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And then in verse 37, this is what the eunuch said. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You say that in certain parts of the world, and you get your head chopped off. But there have been people that have said that with conviction because they knew there was a better place awaiting. And then to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. That's the command of Acts 2 and verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, granted, I've kind of gone here and gone there in the New Testament, but let's boil it down, kind of bring it down and bottom line it. Mark the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16 say this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The word gospel means good news, and it's the good news that Jesus saves. And if Jesus saves, Jesus can save you and He can save me. There Jesus says, go out and tell people about that. Then he encapsulates the gospel in a single statement. He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be what?" That's what I want. I want to be saved. He says, "He that believeth not." In a negative fashion, He addresses the negative. "He that believeth not shall be condemned." I don't want to be that. What I want is to be saved. So I know from this passage and the words of Jesus that I must be a believer and be one that has been baptized. Oh, what a great gospel. You see, those are the two great lessons we find in the story of the prodigal son. Jesus, no doubt, is the great Samaritan. What He does in this is simply, He moves the recipients, the leaders, from duty to love. Their desire has now become their duty, and they're going to do it. But he also stops the debating and tells them to be doers. Oh, that's what I want to learn, what I want to be. He closes it out by simply saying, "Go and do likewise." That's the last statement, and I want to kind of close things out this morning. Got a little something that I brought with me from the house today. You can't really see it probably up close, so I'll just put it up on the board. This is what I have in my hand. Let me tell you about it, and then we'll give an opportunity that if there's anybody here this morning that needs to make a change in your life for the better, then we'll sing a song to be of encouragement to you. Now, while we're singing that song, if you need to become better, if you need to put on Christ and baptism like we have talked about this morning, or change your life to become more godly, we'll help you in whatever way we can. While we're standing, if you just want to walk down here, and I'll help you in whatever way that we can. I was a little kid. Now, you see that little picture down there in the right-hand corner? Okay, that little chubby fella, that's me. That's one of those school pictures, you know, that you get every year. It's been years ago in Ma Posey, my grandmother, we called her Ma. She was a lovely, kind, a gentle woman. But they weren't rich, didn't have a lot of the world's goods. So one year for Christmas, all that she could afford to give myself and the other five grandkids was a picture frame and this little statement that came in the frame and put our school picture that we had given her that year. And she gave it to us. You couldn't sell this for a nickel at a yard sale. But don't try to take it away from me this morning, okay? It's sentimental to me. Mama, when I was young, Mama put it on a shelf in my room and it stayed there for years. Then I got ready to move out, so I gathered up my belongings, you know, and I took it, and it sat on my shelf in my office for a few years. And one day I just picked it up, and I was kind of messing with it, you know. Unknown to me all those years, there was a little piece of yellow paper stuck behind the picture that I had never seen. And I pulled it out. I opened up that little piece of paper, and it was a note to me from my Ma Posey years and years ago. It simply says across the top, "Son, live by these scriptures." She listed about six passages that she wanted me to remember. And, you know, like, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain," Philippians 1:21. I mentioned Ephesians 4:32 a minute ago, "Be ye kind one to another." That's number three. I go down to number six. I go down to number six, and there is a passage from the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, verse 37. And that passage simply reads, and now after we've studied that lesson and that story today, I hope this passage means more to you than it ever has, because that passage simply says, "Go and do likewise." If there is a message that I could encourage you to embrace this morning for the entirety of your life, it would be Luke 10, verse 37, in the context in which it is found. There's a lot of people that have been robbed of so many things out in this world. They've been beat down verbally and physically and emotionally. They're hanging on by a thread. And there's a lot of people that are going to come and pass them by. They might even say, "You know, if I can do anything for you, let me know." And there's a lot of folks in this world that'll just pass them by. But folks, what we need to do is be like Jesus in the story, because He was the Good Samaritan. Because only He can heal. Only He can save. And as we leave and go out into the world, folks out in the world need to see from us Jesus. God bless you this morning. If you have a need, could be that you need to change your life and ask God to forgive you of sin. He will. There might be folks in this audience that aren't Christians today. God, through Jesus, can take care of that. We'll help you in whatever way we can. We've looked at the plan of salvation this morning and the need to be right in God's sight. Now, if you really want to go and do likewise, as He says, and you have a need, then we're going to stand and sing the song. You simply come to Jesus, and we'll help you in whatever way we can. As together we stand and as we sing.